Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. This is an edition of the Nintendo Show, the Nintendo Show Direct, and it's been quite some time since I did one of these, probably since April. That was the last Nintendo Direct, excluding the E3 digital event, but we got a new one confirmed a couple days ago, and then it, of course, came out today at 5 Eastern time, and quite a bit happened, so let's dive right into it. I think first thing that is worth mentioning is that they did not dwell too long on Iwata's passing. They did mention it. It's a little sad that they didn't do a little bit more to sort of pay tribute, but they mentioned it. They acknowledged how important he was, and they moved on quickly. But this direct overall, it was just very focused on games in 2015, early 2016, as they said at the beginning of the direct. And it was a really tremendous Nintendo Direct for the 3DS. A lot of really great stuff coming to the handheld. And in, for the Wii U, it was okay. Not great, but some good stuff on the system. And they started off with a Wii U game. They confirmed the rumors that Twilight Princess HD is real. And there's been some comparisons, screenshots and video clips of the GameCube and the Wii version to the Twilight Princess HD Wii U version. And there's quite a difference, up-resing it and working on some textures and such. But I think outside of the visual update, they didn't at least say anything to talk about extra features or anything like that, but they did show an amiibo. There is a Wolf, Link, and Midna amiibo that will come with the game, which I probably would have gotten anyway because it's cool, but when they confirmed that it was coming with the game, that was a really nice moment. My wife was actually sitting watching the Nintendo Direct with me for the first few minutes, and when she saw the amiibo at first, before they said it was coming with the game, she was like, "Oh, well, you have to get that," because she likes it. But you know, now that it comes with the game, that's a toy for her and a toy for me. So they did mention that there's like some sort of save feature that will pass over from Twilight Princess to Zelda for Wii U, and then they also did show that it was going to be compatible with other amiibo, but they haven't said anything about how the amiibo are compatible or what will pass on between this and Zelda Wii U. They did confirm that this one is coming out March 4th, 2016. And speaking of Zelda Wii U, there was a tiny little teaser at the end of the Twilight Princess HD trailer. And they did mention that it was headed to Wii U and it had the date 2016 on there. So that's really all they said about the game at this time. And, you know, just drawing from information they were talking about with Twilight Princess HD, there will be some sort of amiibo support because data will pass from one to the other. Other than that, not really sure what's going to happen. I mean, it does seem pretty likely that this game will hit Wii U. Whether it does also hit NX, who knows? I pretty much guarantee that NX will have some sort of amiibo support. They're not going to drop that out of their product lineup, but you know, we'll see what happens with this game as time goes on. We'll probably learn a lot more about it at E3. Then they moved over to the handheld Zelda side of things. So they talked about an update to Triforce Heroes, which is coming out on December 2nd. It's called the Den of Trials. It's 30 plus stages, as they call them, which is nice that they're continuing to support that game. They're also having new outfits, and the Fierce Deity outfit is really awesome. I'm really looking forward to unlocking that in the game. And then Lineback is in there as well. And of course, like the other outfits, they have their own abilities. But yeah, it's nice that they're doing this this update to the game. Maybe they do more in the future, maybe not. We'll see. But it's just nice that they're doing it. Then they talked about Pokemon Mystery Dungeon coming out November 20th. let's move on quickly from that. There's a Splatoon update that they talked about. They showed quite a lengthy trailer showing off a couple of new stages and new weapons and a ton of new gear that they're releasing. And the support for that game continues to roll on. And they talked about how they'll be supporting it at least until January. And then, beyond that, they didn't commit to anything, but I'm sure that that game will continue to see some sort of support. Maybe they move on from free support. Maybe it'll be some sort of paid DLC, which would be cool. I'd like to see some single-player stuff. I don't know, because I've got a bunch of other games going on right now, both on the 3DS and the Wii U, between Yoshi and Mario Maker and Fatal Frame on the Wii U. I've had a hard time going back to Splatoon, and it feels like the multiplayer has just been ramped up so much at this point. I might just get my butt kicked if I'm going back to the multiplayer, which makes me a little gun shy to go back to it. But if they did like some single player stuff, added in some single player missions or levels, that would be really cool. I'd jump back into that in a second. Then they talked about another game that they're continuing to update, and that's Mario Maker. And this update is coming in December. It's not like an update like we just got with the checkpoints and all that. And it's not a new skin or anything, but it's a new tool that they're having, they're making available on browsers and smartphones and stuff, where you can narrow down types of searches for levels. Like you can search out certain types of levels based on the parameters they're providing. And it's a way that you can flag levels on your browser or your phone, so that you can find them when you go back to your game on the Wii U. And it seems like it's going to be a really nice tool to find some stuff that you might want to play when you're away from the Wii U, and then just be really specific about, or more specific than you currently can be, about the types of levels you want to play. So you can filter out like the automatic stuff, or maybe stuff that is just a flood of enemies, that kind of thing. So I'm pretty excited for this. I'm really looking forward to looking for Mario levels on my phone while I'm at work instead of doing my job. It'll be a good time. And it's nice that this may be something that they've been considering for a little while, but it's nice that they're continuing to support that game, especially with things like checkpoints and this, where these are complaints that people have about the game, so they're continuing to support the game. And looking at people's suggestions and looking at what people might be having a hard time with and improving upon that. After that, they mentioned a couple more Wii U games. Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival, that's out tomorrow at time of recording here and at the time of the Nintendo Direct. And Mario Tennis Ultra Smash is out next week on the 20th. These are the two holiday lineup games, and neither of them really interest me. And they didn't really do anything to make them more interesting to me. But it's like they weren't even bothering talking about the games until now. So, good for them for finally saying something about them and trying to make some sort of effort to make them look appealing. To me, it didn't really matter what they said. I wasn't going to buy a Mario Tennis game, and I'm not really interested in Animal Crossing or a party board game. But they're finally putting some sort of effort into talking about those games and trying to get people interested in those games and trying to show why those games might be interesting to some people. But the game that's really interesting to me is Xenoblade Chronicles X, coming out December 4th, which is the next game that they showed, and it just looks so goddamn good. It looks so goddamn good. They showed some stuff that, of course, we'd seen before, a person running through a field, some battles. They showed the skills, and just everything about this game looks like it's just going to be so fucking awesome. They did also mention that there are data load packs, downloadable packs that you can get in order to help with load times and such. And they are available now, and actually the game is also available to preload at this point. And they did suggest the initial one, but I have a hard drive hooked up to my Wii U, so I'm just going to go ahead and grab all of them within the next few days, just so that when I do get my limited edition from GameStop, I'll just be able to pop it in and have it run as smoothly as possible. It is about 8 or 9 gigabytes for all of the data packs, which is huge for just packs. I mean, that's not even the game. But you know, I have the space to spare. I just it's one of those things where if I didn't have a hard drive, this would be massive. This would be, even on the premium, this would be almost 30% of your storage space to do these data packs. And it's something that they really need to address with the NX is that storage. And they've mentioned things like cloud storage in the past. Actually, very recently, they're talking about cloud storage at the investors meeting. And maybe that's an approach that they take with the NX. Maybe the rumors of them going back to like a more cartridge-based flash storage, distribution of physical media. Maybe that helps with enormous file sizes for these data packs. Maybe that helps with load times because you're not on a spinning disk on an optical drive. Who knows? But the fact that there's so much that has to be stored on the system now, these sort of data packs and installing games and stuff. 32 gigabytes of flash storage is nowhere near enough. That is a crazy small amount of storage. So it's something that they really need to address and talk about with NX and going forward with their future systems. So after they talked about Xenoblade Chronicles X, they talked about a couple of digital-only games, five of them. They talked about Badge Arcade, which is a pay-to-play game, which is kind of lame. I haven't downloaded it yet. It's an interesting idea. It's a cool tool to customize your menu of your 3DS because you're playing this claw grabber game where you grab badges, but you only get 5 tries, and then you can practice like 5 times every day, but you're not actually getting something from those practices. You have to pay $1 in order to get more actual tries to get more badges, which is a bummer. I would have it probably something that I would probably tinker with if it was entirely free, but the fact that you can like pay $1 into it and then not get anything, I don't know, it doesn't sit exactly right with me. I think that the idea of having like this super customizable 3DS home menu using these tools that you can get from this little mini game is a really cool idea, but to like dump money into this thing just so that maybe I get something I want and maybe I get something I don't want, like if I get badges that I don't feel like using, I'm just kind of stuck with them and maybe I miss out on stuff that I do want to use, I don't know. This has been out in Japan for quite some time, and they're bringing it to the U.S. and well, they already brought it to North America and Europe. But yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna pass on this one because I won't be able to fully utilize the features without dumping money into it. Then they talked about Pokemon Picross, which is also a free-to-start game, with in-game purchases of the Picrites, I believe they called them. But it's basically, it's Picross, where you're, you know, using your clues to almost play like a game of Minesweeper, except instead of exposing the mines, you're exposing a picture of Pokemon, in this case. And those Pokemon that you reveal and that you capture, so to speak, you can utilize their skills to help you in other puzzles. They showed an Eevee, and using the Eevee skill kind of revealed 2 columns for you as you're solving the puzzle. So, I don't know, there are people who really like Picross, and it's cool that this one's free to start. Might not be a game that I jump into, but, you know, it's a neat little announcement, tiny little game. The one that I was really excited for that they talked about in this particular segment was SteamWorld Heist. And it is releasing, they said in the direct holiday 2015, but then in a press release afterwards, they gave it a early December time frame. And this game, it looks so goddamn good. It's got a really nice art style to it. It's kind of a 2D. It looks a lot like SteamWorld Dig with the art design, but it's like a 2D sort of strategy game where you have your party and you are taking out enemies in this spaceship that you're in, and there's things like character upgrades and weapon upgrades, a bunch of RPG elements to it and leveling up. It looks like there'll be some sort of recruiting elements to it so you can build a team. And there's a free theme that comes with the game for your 3DS when the game comes out. But yeah, I'm really excited for this one. I really liked SteamWorld Dig, and I'm excited to see what these guys do next. There's things like lining up your shots to hit specific parts of the enemy and ricocheting bullets off the wall and stuff. It looks like it's going to be a really cool little strategy game. Another one that looks really good is Fast Racing Neo, which is also one that they're targeting for early December. At this point, I'm wondering why they don't just let Sheenan call this game F-Zero, or let them make an F-Zero game, because this is essentially what it is, down to like the recharge stations and the boost pads and the design of the cars and everything. It definitely has a really strong F-Zero feel. Maybe they don't want to work with somebody else's property. Maybe they want to do their own thing. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I can't imagine that calling this an F-Zero game would hurt the game at all. I think that letting them do an F-Zero game exactly like this one would be good for the developer because of the exposure they would get from it, and good for the property because it would actually, have a game. This game has online, it has split-screen multiplayer, it has like a single-player campaign. So yeah, this looks like it's going to have some substance to it. I'm pretty stoked for Fast Racing Neo. They also showed Typo Man, was the last one they showed in this little highlight reel. That one's coming out November 19th. I played the demo of this one back around E3. So if you search through some of the shows around that time, you can find me talking about it. I wasn't stoked on it. There are a lot of people who seem to really like the concept. To me, it just kind of played out as slow. The pacing wasn't great, and a lot of the puzzles, like the puzzles, some of them you solve right away, but then having to drag letters around, it just felt like it really broke up the pace in the game. You knew what you wanted to do, but it just took forever to do it. Anyway, after that, they had this really weird, this delightfully weird Yo-Kai Watch promo with Bill Trennan eating a bunch of donuts and Reggie interrupting him because he was supposed to be in an important meeting. But yeah, I love that. These sort of weird things that they do, it directs a ton of personality. They're already so strange to begin with. I thought these little skits, but having them in there just makes everything feel really, really silly and fun. One of the things that they talked about, they were talking about the lineup for the Wii U right after this. They cut back to Reggie and they were talking about the games coming out, and they're like, hey, Mario Tennis and Amiibo Festival and Xenoblade, and they even mentioned Devil's Third, which was a game a few months ago seemed like they were trying to distance themselves from. But there it is. They mentioned it. That game exists. It's coming out, and it's probably one that I'm going to end up passing on. There was a chance I would be getting it in early 2016, but you know what? The early 2016 lineup is looking pretty solid across 3DS and Wii U, so sorry, Devil's Third, I will probably be passing. Maybe if we have another summer that's too hot for games in North America. Anyway, I digress. Reggie also mentioned that they're doing the Smash Brothers and Splatoon bundle, the one that had already been announced as part of a bunch of Black Friday deals. They also announced a few 3DS XL bundles to keep an eye out for, and they announced the new lineup of Amiibo coming out January 22nd, which has Lucas and some Animal Crossing characters. So go get those Amiibos, it seems like it's getting easier to get them, that's nice for everybody. Now, if only I could walk into a store and found Ike and Shulk, I would be all set. After they talked about the current lineup, they started to move into a lot of the 2016 stuff. They talked about Pokken Tournament, which they announced for spring 2016. Maybe April, maybe May. I'm getting a May vibe from Pokken Tournament. They showed Shadow Mewtwo. They showed a little trailer of that. And then an amiibo card for Shadow Mewtwo that you use to unlock the character right away. They're going to have it with like the first run of the game. And like if you don't get the game the first run, you unlock him, you know, like a lot of fighting games. So it's an unlockable character by accomplishing some things. I'm wondering if this leads to more amiibo for this particular game. Will this Shadow Mewtwo amiibo work with other games? What sort of functionality will it have? And it's a card. So I'm actually really hopeful that they do an entire like amiibo line of just cards, because I would buy those up in a second, get a little binder and some card protectors, and start collecting all my card amiibos from, you know, just random booster packs, so to speak. That kind of thing would be really fun. So after they talked about Pokken Tournament, they moved over to Star Fox and gave it a release date of April 22nd, which is one of the big reasons I'm getting a May vibe from Pokken Tournament. I think maybe they spread those two out a little bit, and they got Twilight Princess in March, Star Fox Zero in April, then Pokken Tournament maybe in May. Maybe that's how it all shakes out. But anyway, they featured a lot of transformations. They did the R-Wing to the Chicken and the Landmaster to the Grandmaster. They also showed Slippy flying around in a Gyro Wing and explained that a little bit. Mostly stuff that we had seen so far. The big news out of this was that it had a release date. I think maybe some people were hoping for some online features or some multiplayer stuff. Maybe that happens. I think there was like an official Star Fox website that mentioned something about 1 to 2 players. Maybe something like that happens. Maybe not. We'll see. I think that it looks like it's shaping up to be a really solid Star Fox game. So, you know, whether or not it has multiplayer online doesn't really matter to me. But some co-op stuff would be really cool. Oh, and yeah, I'm pretty sure they did talk about some co-op stuff back at E3, like one player doing the piloting and the other player being the gunner, something like that. Anyway, maybe I'm making that all up in my head, but I'm pretty sure that's a thing. So after Star Fox Zero, they showed Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. They gave it the January 22nd release date, which is nice. I think some people were hoping that would get bumped up to December like it did in Europe, but January 22nd sounds just fine to me. They showed off a lot of Mario's paper powers, which was nice to see. I was personally wondering how they were going to utilize his skills, but you know, they showed him getting skinny, and they showed him being a paper airplane, so it seems like they're making good use of using those paper skills to traverse the levels, which will be really fun. They also showed that giant battles are back. Instead of like being a giant Bowser or a giant Dream Luigi, you'll be a giant papercraft Mario. So, you know, those battles are fun to mix in every once in a while. I think in Dream Team, they got a little bit, they overstayed their welcome a little bit. They used them a little too much, which is, I think, something you could say about a lot of things in Dream Team. The game kind of overstayed its welcome a little bit. Still a fun RPG, but longer than I expected it to be. Maybe, hopefully in Paper Jam, they keep it a little bit more concise. This is an RPG that's good to have at a brisk 20 or 30 hours rather than 40 or 50, like Dream Team. Anyway, they also showed battle cards, which will, you know, give you different effects in battle. And what the most interesting thing they showed about this game was actually, you can use amiibo to make your own battle cards. And they showed the Super Mario Brothers line of amiibo that you can incorporate into the game. I'm wondering how that will all shake out. Like, do they expand it to more amiibo? Will it just be the Mario line? Will that further indicate that there are actual amiibo cards maybe possibly coming, since there are cards in the game and you're using amiibo and turning them into cards? I can speculate, because I am hopeful that it will actually happen. After Mario and Luigi, they kept the 3DS love going with Final Fantasy Explorers, which is coming out like 4 days after Mario and Luigi Paper Jam, January 26th. 20 different jobs, customizable armor. You can make your characters look like existing Final Fantasy characters. They showed like Squall from Final Fantasy VIII. They showed Tifa from Final Fantasy VII. They also talked about Cecil, Terra. So some pretty cool little cameos that you can make in the game. Four-player online missions. There's also a single player where you can also recruit monsters to join your party if there's no one to play with. I think that four-player online is going to be pretty fun. Hopefully I'll be able to find some people to play with, because I think that's where the game is really going to shine. In the North American version, all the DLC from the Japan version are included. There's 100 plus quests to go on, and this is all. And there's also going to be a really cool collector's edition, which includes like an art book and a music CD. It's a really impressive package that they're putting together. And actually, there's a pretty impressive collector's edition packages for a lot of the stuff that they were talking about, including Fire Emblem Fates, which comes out like 3 weeks after that, on February 19th. And the big thing about this, not too many new details, but they talked about how you can purchase it. And the way to purchase this game is going to be the Collector's Edition 3-pack, which has, of course, Conquest and Birthright and Revelations, which is the third mission that I believe had previously been unnamed in North America. But okay, it's has an art book and a 3DS XL pouch, so a little bit of swag to go along with it. But yeah, that's going to be the way to get this game, because otherwise, you know, it's like $80, and I think each version is $40, and they have it set up to where you buy one physical or digital, you buy one copy, and then you get the other copy. The if you get Conquest for $40, you get Birthright for $20, or vice versa. And then I think that Revelations, I believe how it was structured in Japan, it was another essentially $20. So for the price, it's the same price if you're doing the Collector's Edition 3-pack or if you're getting the one game and then getting the digital versions of all of the add-ons. So I'd rather have the super cool boxes and Collector's Edition stuff rather than one version of the game and a bunch of digital stuff. That's just me personally. They also talked about DLC maps and DLC packs. So, you know, the DLC for Awakening was, you know, pretty hefty, and hopefully that it remains just as good in Fates. So that's definitely one that I'm super excited for. And a couple of days after that, on the 23rd, Mega Man Legacy Collection is coming out, which of course has a exclusive collector's edition, which has a gold Mega Man amiibo that only comes with the collector's edition. Good luck everybody out there collecting all the amiibos. But it comes with an amiibo because there are exclusive challenges that you can unlock in the 3DS version with your Mega Man or gold Mega Man amiibo. And it's a game that looks like a pretty good compilation of these NES Mega Man games it has some other stuff to offer, some different features and stuff. Personally, I will probably pass on this one because I am going to be playing so many other things at this time. And I like these older Mega Man games, but I'm not that much of a super fan that I absolutely have to have these. So 4 days after that, on the 27th, and this was probably the second biggest surprise of the Nintendo Direct, and it's a really good one. The Pokemon Gen 1 games are coming to the 3DS eShop, the virtual console, on the 27th. And this at first, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. I probably won't get that. But the cool thing is, if I can get Wes and Ryan to jump in on this and grab these as well, or at least one version of them, then we can actually do like a Gen 1 Nuzlocke or a Gen 1 draft or something with the first generation, rather than, you know, keep on doing these run-throughs of the more modern games. We can go way back to the old style ones. And it's just really cool that they're finally bringing these games out, and it doesn't seem like they're going to miss out on any features because they're putting in wireless trading rather than, you know, the old Game Boy Link cables, so you can get that feature out of it as well. I'm curious if it's going to be compatible with the Pokemon Bank. I don't have high hopes. It would be cool if you could export your Pokemon out of that Gen 1 game, but there's so many things that would change. Pokemon learn different moves at different levels, but I think the big thing is in Gen 1, there was no special attack or special defense stat. It was just special. So you know, there's different obstacles that they would have to address when exporting a Gen 1 Pokemon into the Pokemon Bank so you can bring it into your modern games. Again, I'm not super optimistic that it's going to happen, but it would be really cool if you could. But yeah, I'm super excited for these games coming out on the Virtual Console because I have not played one of these in quite some time, so I'm looking forward to doing it. They kept the 3DS love going with Hyrule Warriors, which is coming out on March 25th. A lot of the content we're already aware of, you know, like Tetra, Toon Link, King of Red Lions, Skull Kid, and it all looks very cool. This is a game that on the Wii U I had a lot of fun with, so I have no issue recommending this game if you haven't played the Wii U version. The coolest thing that they showed from this was definitely Linkle, which is the female Link, and there's a lot of speculation about this character back when the game came out because there's like a piece of art where you could see a crossbow and people were speculating that it was a female kind of Link type character, and there was like some artwork to go along with it and stuff. There was it was a pretty cool little conspiracy theory that, hey, guess what, turns out there she is. And yeah, she seems like a really cool acrobatic kind of character. And she's got the two crossbows, one in each hand, which is really cool. And I don't really know what else to say about her other than, hey, how about Linkle in Smash? That would be pretty awesome. They did mention that Bravely Second End Lair exists. They didn't really show anything, and they didn't really talk about anything other than it's coming out spring 2016. Which I think we already aware that it was coming out around that time frame. I was actually maybe expecting it a little bit earlier, but I'm just kind of like glazing over the other games coming out in early 2016. I'm going to take a stab and say maybe April. So maybe a few weeks, a couple weeks after Hyrule Warriors Legends, maybe we'll see Bravely Second End Lair. Another big surprise, probably the third biggest surprise of the Nintendo Direct, is that Dragon Quest 7 and 8 are coming to the 3DS. Dragon Quest 7 in early summer and 8 in just broad 2016. So I'm thinking, you know, clearly second half of the year. And yeah, I mean, I've talked about my complex relationship with Dragon Quest many times. If there's nothing else coming around that time and nothing in the backlog I want to get to, maybe I'll give this series another shot. But, I mean, it's cool that these games are finally getting localized. That's got to be exciting for a lot of people who've been wanting them for so long. So, I haven't looked, and I don't know if the information's available yet about who's publishing, because it seemed like for so long, Square and Nintendo were in this gigantic game of chicken about who was going to publish this game outside of Japan, and or these games, I should say, 7 and 8. And I wonder who eventually buckled. Who's the company that's going to actually be bringing this game out to North American fans? And these are the third and fourth Square Enix games that was talked about or mentioned in this direct that's coming in 2016. And that feels like some pretty solid support from Square Enix, especially recently. I think last year, the only game that they published on 3DS was Theater Rhythm, Curtain Call. I think Bravely Default also came out in 2014, I think, but that was a Nintendo published, and I think Nintendo's also publishing Bravely Second. But yeah, it's still cool. It's cool that Square Enix is making game for this system, and it's cool that they're coming to North America. Anyway, so after that, they jumped over to the sizzle reel, and they showed a few games that are coming out in 2016. I'll just jump through them really quick. Hive Jump, early 2016. Kerbal Space Program, which looks really cool. I'm excited to get my hands on that one, early 2016. Mighty No. 9, we know, is coming out in February 16, until they delay it again. which I have little faith in that game coming out. I hope I'm wrong, because it looks cool, and I'm most likely going to be getting it on the Wii U, and that'll probably be the first game on the Wii U I buy in between Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is December 4th. Actually, I take that back. I think I'm going to get Xenoblade Chronicles X in December, and then I might try Rodea the Sky Soldier in January, since there's no Wii U games coming out that we know of in that month. So maybe that happens. Maybe I just load up on a bunch of eShop games. Maybe I do both. I'm not sure yet. Anyway, and just as I said, no Wii U games in January. Here's one. Marvel LEGO Avengers is coming out January 26th, so right at the end of January there, but I'll probably end up passing on that anyway. Project Cross Zone 2 coming out February 6th. I was really concerned that I was going to end up buying that game because I didn't really like the first one, but I wasn't sure what else was going to be coming out. But it seems like we got a pretty solid lineup for the 3DS for early 2016, so I might be able to pass on that one for quite a while. And then Terraria is coming out in the Wii U and the 3DS in early 2016. And then they wrapped up the Direct with the biggest surprise of the show, and that is, holy shit, Cloud from Final Fantasy VII is going to be in Smash Brothers. They didn't talk about much. They showed a trailer in which he was kicking a lot of ass. I can't really tell you what character he seems to play like, because I'm not really super well versed in Smash. But it is really cool to see this Square Enix character in Smash Brothers. And just like I said, it's really cool to see all these Square Enix games coming to the 3DS. Maybe Nintendo and Square are starting to be kind of buddy-buddy again. I think that it's hard to not wildly speculate about what this means for the future of these two, especially with Square Enix like constantly running their mouths about Dragon Quest on NX and Final Fantasy XIV on NX. Could this possibly mean that other Final Fantasy games and other Square Enix games would come to NX? Is it possible that Final Fantasy XV maybe one day might come to NX? Shit, or is it possible that Final Fantasy VII Remake would come to NX? And of course, I'm basing that on absolutely nothing. It's based on the character being used in their fighting game. I mean, Ryu is in it, and it seems unlikely that Street Fighter is going to be coming to a Nintendo system anytime soon. But it's really fun to speculate about this kind of stuff, and it's really fun, especially to think about Square Enix and Nintendo back together on these projects. Because Final Fantasy is a franchise that I've loved for a really long time, modern games notwithstanding, but it would be really, really awesome to see some support from Square Enix on Nintendo systems and future Nintendo systems. Anyway, so, and I think the thing that this Nintendo Direct did really well is that it did a good job of creating some excitement for the future of the systems. I think that especially on the 3DS side, because there's so much scheduled for 3DS right now in early 2016, I'm excited to see what's going to be happening with the system in the second half of 2016, but it's likely we probably won't get that sort of information until E3. But it seems like the 3DS is definitely alive and well, and there's a lot of content coming to it from a lot of different sources. The Wii U, on the other hand, I mean, early 2016, I'm going to be getting Mighty No. 9, Twilight Princess, Star Fox, Pokken Tournament. That's four games between January and May. That's not great. It's not awful either. The Wii U is definitely hurting from lack of support from any other developer or publisher. Maybe if Bloodstained and Yooka-Laylee make their 2016 projected release dates. That helps pad things out a little bit. I think Nintendo could do themselves a huge favor by doing more, or having someone do more HD remakes of GameCube, maybe even Wii games, like HD Collection, Mario Galaxy. They could HDify the Metroid Prime Trilogy. There's a bunch of Kirby games. They could do a Kirby HD Collection, Mario Sunshine HD, Skyward Sword HD. I think that if they are loading up for NX, they could do themselves a lot of favors by just putting something out there onto Wii U to keep people engaged. As somewhat, and I hope as a lot of people listening are owning both the Wii U and the 3DS, there's plenty content across both systems to stay engaged, but 70% of it is on the 3DS. I it's hard for me to imagine what it must be like if someone owns only a Wii U and not a 3DS. It's hard for me to imagine what the lineups must look like from purely that end. But I think that me personally, over the past few months, I've been diving into a lot of Mario Maker, Yoshi, Fatal Frame. I got Xenoblade coming up, and then as we roll into 2016, there'll be some things here and there. And then of course I've been banking a lot of eShop games in case things run dry. The system, and close toward the end of the year, probably do another State of Nintendo podcast to sort of address where the system is. But it's been a bit of a tough year across both systems, really. The summer months, there were about 3 months there where things were really, really slow, and that didn't do anything good for either system. Hopefully Nintendo is able to continue to energize its fans and the people who play their games all the way through 2016 and leading up to NX, whatever it may be, whenever it may be coming out. But yeah, I think that this Nintendo Direct was a step in the right direction. They didn't talk about too many things we didn't already know about. A lot of dwelling on stuff that was already announced, but they did a good job of creating a lot of excitement for some of the things that has already been announced, and a good job continuing to support things like Splatoon and Mario Maker and Smash Brothers. Oh, and I completely forgot to mention, there's going to be a Smash Brothers presentation, sort of a Smash Brothers dedicated direct in December. So maybe we learn more about like the ballot characters and more about Cloud in that direct. And shoot, there's going to be a Cloud character in Smash. Does that mean there's going to be a Cloud amiibo? I think that is totally justified to speculate. Anyway, that is going to wrap up this Nintendo Direct. Wes and I, and hopefully Ryan, if he's able to make it, are going to be back in just a few days. We're a little bit behind. It's been about a week since we put out a show, so this one here will kind of keep us in line with a weekly release schedule, but we're probably going to post the next one a little bit earlier than a week out, maybe just 3 or 4 days here, in order to sort of realign the schedule and kind of get back into more of a 7-day release schedule. So the next one's going to be the mini show, and we got a bunch of games to talk about, including Mario Maker, Yoshi, Fatal Frame, Xenoblade, on the 3DS, Legend of Legacy. We got Fire Emblem Awakening, Stella Glow. There's a ton of stuff that we're going to have to talk about. So that will be a nice long show. And we'll have Wes's book report as well. And after that one, we'll have the Super Nintendo show, which we've got a bunch of games to talk about there as well. And then wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month. So until next time, everybody.